Today's episode of Beyond the Mask is presented by the team at CRNA Financial Planning. Get a free consultation today to be guided through the complexities of investing and financial planning. Just visit crnafinancialplanning.com. Beyond the Mask is also sponsored by crnaeducation.com. CRNAs, you can get the CE credits you need by just going to crnaeducation.com. They have over 100 AANA prior approved credits, all four core CPC modules, and even over 40 pharmacology credits. No subscriptions, it's all online and mobile friendly. Just go to crnaeducation.com. And don't forget, listening to our podcast can earn you Class B credits. For more information on how you can submit them, check out our CE credit tab on our website, beyondthemaskpodcast.com. Welcome to Beyond the Mask, innovation and opportunities for CRNAs and advanced practice nurses, with certified financial planner Jeremy Stanley and CRNA Sharon Pierce. Jeremy Stanley has worked with CRNAs for more than 23 years, and Sharon Pierce is a former president of the AANA and the NCANA. Join us as we leave the operating room and learn the latest in the CRNA and advanced practice nurse industries. Beyond the Mask starts in 10, 9, 8, 7.
Hey there, this is Sharon. I am in Myrtle Beach doing Goddess Weekend with some of my girlfriends. And unfortunately, Jeremy couldn't join me here. We wouldn't want him here anyway.
He does not fit the bill of
Goddess. God, he does not. However, listeners, I have the pleasure of having the company of my guest co-host and friend, Tracy Castleman, down here. Of course, she's a goddess, so she's down here for the week with me. And we've got a great guest today, don't we, Tracy?
Yes, we do.
See, Jeremy could not do this interview with me. He would be totally lost. So I'm so glad you're here with me. So just in case our listeners have forgotten you, which I know they could not, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Tracy, before we get started?
Hi, everybody. I'm Tracy Castleman, a nurse anesthetist who practices in New Jersey, started off in New York, made my way down south a little bit. I've been practicing in a hospital for a long time. I teach fabulous students from the Rutgers University Nursing Anesthesia Program. I should say residents, not
there
students.
There you go.
I teach them clinically, and I've been active on my state level, nationally, and I currently am the president of Angina Cares, the charitable arm of the state association.
And the only state that has a charitable arm.
I believe so.
Yeah. Yes, y'all are way ahead of your time. So today we have with us Roxanne McMurray. So Roxanne, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of introduce your topic?
Yes, so I am a longtime CRNA, over 30 years. I'm also a former educator at the University of Minnesota. I was an associate professor up there and also associate program director. And then I saw a need in our airway management tools. So I'm an inventor now. So I started up McMurray Medical in 2016, launched a device to improve basic airway management. And here we are today improving our outcomes and with patients and opening up the airway to keep them breathing.
That's important. I remember the first time I saw this in the exhibit hall a few years ago, and I just loved it. Mm-hmm. I loved the idea of it. It was something absolutely that we need. I do. I know you do a lot of endoscopy.
Don't I?
But in the hospital setting, I do a lot of patients with airway challenges. So I loved this device.
So Roxanne, why don't you tell us kind of your aha moment and the whole genesis of how this got started? It's always fascinating to me how smart CRNAs are. You know, when I saw your airway, it's something we've all kind of rigged up and made a workaround, but you took action and did something about it, which says something about you too. So tell us that whole process.
You know, sitting on the sidelines and standing back and assessing about airway management or patients, and it's like, why are we starting to do a chin lift jaw thrust more? Our patients are changing. They were getting heavier in the 1990s to early 2000s. Propofol was evolving. So now we could do a great deep sedation or deep MAC, whatever you want to call it, or a room air general.
Room air general.
And our patients were comfortable. Our surgeons loved it because the turnaround time was diminished. Mm-hmm. Our patients loved it because they could bypass the phase one recovery room.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But our patients were obstructing their airways. Even with using the oral airway, 80% of the time we're doing a jaw thrust. Mm-hmm. Our hands are getting tired. We're strapped to our patient unless mm-hmm. we let the jaw fall and they obstruct their airway. Our patients are waking up with more pain in their jaw sometimes than their incisional pain. Mm-hmm. And their jaws are getting bruised and dislocated. There is a suit going on right now that was brought to my attention. A patient had a dislocated jaw post a deep sedation because the anesthesia provider was cranking on their jaw to keep them breathing. You know, mm-hmm. what a conundrum. So
yeah, breathing or not.
Yeah, that one just seems obvious. You wouldn't have any suit to file. Well, it would be a different suit if you didn't make it through the case. But
right,
I get it.
Right. Yeah, we're doing jaw thrusts a lot more. And we're tired of it. So then we started creating other tools on the side and doing workarounds and using tools off label. And with that, I stood back and said, okay, we have a problem here. What are we doing about it? And I didn't see anyone else coming up with a solution. And so I took that nasal airway as a prototype, figured out what can we do to make it safe for oral use.
Because we've been using, I use those nasal trumpets.
Yeah,
sometimes I put three in, you know, in order, especially with the morbidly obese patient without a chin on their back for knee replacement mm-hmm. under spinal with sedation.
Mm-hmm. Put one in each nose?
No, I'll put a couple in the mouth, sometimes one in the nose, and I'll come in. I don't get them that deep. I try not to, but I'll come in and see people have a nasal trumpet in, an oral airway in, a mask on their face.
Done all
that. The roll under the jaw, under the shoulder. And you know that the end-tidal CO2 has to be really high.
Yeah, but sometimes that helps you keep them asleep.
Well, but it's uncomfortable. I understand. It's an uncomfortable way to sit there and just wait for your patient to fall over the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And why is an oral airway or the nasal airway in the nose working?
Because,
well, it's that tissue by mm-hmm. the right by the epiglottis, and that's why we're doing a jaw thrust mm-hmm. so frequently.
Well,
we have to.
You made a good point in that if our hands are free, we can be doing other things. And you know, we've all had days when your hands are just aching from holding on to these patient airways. Whenever I do uppers, one of the doctors laughs at me and he said, "It looks like I'm wrestling the patients because I get bent way over in the bed and I've got both hands on their airway and I've got my ear down there so I can hear them because you've got your oxygen turned up so high your end tidal won't pick up. It's blowing it off and you can't see it so I can just hear it." Instead he goes, "It looks like you're kissing the patient, Sharon." I'm like, "I'll do whatever I have to mm-hmm. to maintain this airway." So I need it. I need some of these airways in the office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes I say, "Don't make me swing my leg over the cart to help them, you know, stay still."
I love that.
So how long did this process take you, though, Roxanne, from the time of the genesis in your brain mm-hmm. to when you got something? You had to have a 3D prototype done, I'm sure.
It started with a patent. So patent search, I did that on my own. And then I hired a patent attorney and I was living up in the Twin Cities at the time. And that's a hub for medical devices.
Sure.
Yeah, Medtronic, mm-hmm. you know, that's for St. Jude. So I have finding a medical patent attorney was difficult because a lot of them were being used by those huge companies, organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go out of state. So developed a patent that was issued in 2013. And then my family asked me, "Now, what are you going to do? What are you doing with this patent?"
Just let me ask you, how much was the patent attorney, just out of curiosity, if you don't mind sharing?
No, so it varies. Mine was probably around $5,000, but it was a medical patent attorney. But now we have a top-notch patent attorney that's located in the Twin Cities, and he's very expensive, but he's good.
Okay.
Because your IP is only as good as, you know, the issue patent, right? So you want someone who's good at it. So anyway, my kids said, "What are you going to do with this patent?" It's like, "Oh, great. Now I got to do something with it. So I came up with a prototype, and then you have to test it. My husband was having hernia surgery, and a girlfriend of mine was providing the anesthesia. And so he was the first recipient of the,
the guinea pig,
because we had to make sure it worked. And he has sleep apnea, and it worked great. So
wow. So you had to do the prototype. It's a 3D that they have to go in and make the mm-hmm. airway. Mm-hmm. And surely you had whoever did your 3D sign an NDA, non-disclosure agreement, oh, yeah. and all of that kind of stuff. And then how many patients did you practice on with your prototype besides your husband?
Mm-hmm. So after we knew it was the right diameter and the right length, and we got that elongated bite block correct, then we went and we formed McMurray Medical in 2016, and then we found a manufacturer. Mm. And it took a good year to find a manufacturer.
I bet.
To make the Yeah, because we were a no-name company with a no-name product. Mm-hmm. And for them to take us on, we're very
So this
very
is helpful. Already 3 years, 2013.
Sure.
Now we're up to 2016.
The McMurray Enhanced Airway is manufactured in the U.S. And we could have done it pennies on the dollar if mm-hmm. we went to China or to Mexico. But we wanted the quality control here in the U.S. And came COVID, we were very grateful that we were manufacturing in the U.S. because
sure.
all our resins come from the U.S. as well. So we didn't have that constraint of transportation and the shutdown of different supplies. We had all our supplies manufactured here in the U.S. And after manufacturing, then you have to do testing on it. You have to be testing not only on the device itself as in a patient, but testing on transportation. And that gets expensive. You have to do like a shake and bake.
Wait,
test.
What does wait, that wait, mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I know. I had no idea.
Tell us what that means yeah. exactly.
So they, so when you have like an expiration date on a medical device or even on food, they have to test it how long it can last in that container or in that package, and so you have to pay people to evaluate that.
Oh Lord! Now, how much did that cost?
It's very expensive. Yeah.
Attention all certified nurse anesthetists, are you in need of a reliable and quality continuing education option? Well, look no further than crnaeducation.com. We are an NBCRNA recognized provider offering all four core CPC modules to meet your certification requirements. You can choose from more than 100 AANA prior approved Class A CE credits with 43 articles covering a wide range of anesthesia topics. Need pharmacology CE credits? Well, we've got you covered there as well, with over 40 pharmacology CE credits available. All credits are completed online and are mobile friendly. Choose articles worth 1, 2, or 3 credits. There's no subscriptions, no hidden fees, just the CE credits you need when you need them. Owned by CRNAs since 2011, you can trust in our commitment to your education. And customer service is always a quick email or phone call or even text away. To sign up and find out more about our education options, visit crnaeducation.com, your partner in continuing education. That's crnaeducation.com.
So tell me though, I've seen your product. It's a pretty solid product. How can they figure, at what point would they say it deteriorates or it is no longer able to do the job that it was intended to? How can they do that if the product hasn't been out that long?
They expedite. They shake, they bake it like at temperatures to see when it starts to disintegrate.
Ah, okay. That's so, what you meant by shake and bake. See, we used to call the ECT treatments shake and bake. So
we didn't call them that.
They try to hurt it.
Right. Try to make it disintegrate. Yes. And for each year that you add to your expiration date, it costs more money.
So what's the expiration date on yours, for instance?
Boy, this could be a whole conversation on producing something.
Yes. So originally it was 1 year. And then we saved some products from that initial run mm-hmm. for manufacturing. And then we did natural shelf life as well.
Okay.
So now we have up to 3 years for expiration.
And how long is an average bite block like an oral airway? How long is the shelf life on,
I think, two
the
years,
traditional yeah. oral airway?
Oh, that's a great question.
Do they even expire? Oh, they're plastic.
Do. No, they do have an expiration date on it. I think it's a couple of years or so, because just like your LMAs, because we keep LMAs on our carts and endoscopy, and you never use them. Well, that's not quite true. I think I've used four or five in many, yeah. many moons, but you have to rotate
airway,
them out. But they have an expiration date on them, but we'll all be looking whenever we go.
Yeah,
to
but
work.
You know what? They work perfectly well in mission work.
Yeah,
that's
well,
where they all go.
Yeah,
and
well,
that's
I send
what I
all
use.
Of them.
Yeah.
I send all of them. And of course we know they all yeah. work. It's just a thing.
It's because they haven't spent more money or to do the prolonged expiration time.
Isn't that interesting? You got to spend more money to get yeah. a longer expiration
either
time.
Either that or they just don't want them sitting on the shelf, because the longer it sits on the shelf, the less you need to order more product.
Well, I think there's
that
yes.
too.
A little bit.
Not
of,
that we don't use oral airways all the time now mm-hmm. because of exactly what she said. Our patient demographic has changed.
Well, the first time I met you, Roxanne, and we were talking about this, the Goodell Airways that we use, they've been in... What, 100 years? They've not been adapted? What was it you told me?
100 years.
Just
yes.
think of what people look like. The shape of people were not as heavy.
No.
They were not as tall, right? They didn't live as long necessarily. Or if they did, they didn't live as long with as much disease as we have now. Jaws must have been better.
Well, I can remember. I can remember it, when I first started office anesthesia, we did nobody with a BMI of 40. That was the cutoff
yeah.
when I first started giving
anesthesia. No, there is no cutoff.
No, I've done a 59 in the yeah. office. But, I mean, she looked like she could swallow a lion's head, so I know she was going to be all right. But the rest of her body was just... Mm. I opened up the curtain, and you know when your heart falls when you open up the curtain and see what your next patient looks like. Even the pictures that they have on our system... Maybe a picture that's 20 years old, because my doc's been in practice a long time. So I think this is what I'm getting. And then I walk out and open the curtain and they've gained 100 pounds since their picture. So, yeah.
Yeah. And when, you know, our basic airway tools, our go-to airway tools haven't been redesigned to keep up with the evolving patient and procedures and our anesthesia.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's caused this issue. And look at our advanced airway tools and how they kept up
yes.
with evolving mm-hmm. in the times. Now we have articulating bougies. They're wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, yep. again, we started the bariatric program at the hospital I was at in like 2005. And those patients, probably BMI was 45, something like that. And, you know, I just did a knee at the hospital and it was 66 BMI.
I did a C-section. Wow. Well, I helped put in the epidural, which wound up being the continuous spinal, which was the best gift of all, in a woman whose BMI was 78.
As we're sitting oh down here at Goddess Week eating pull yeah. apart, pull apart cinnamon rolls, but we won't get that. We won't get up to those BMIs.
She couldn't even.
Week.
Yeah. So tell me, Roxanne, looking at the picture, and I've looked at your product. I just cannot remember the length. Mm-hmm. Right. Obviously, the biggest part is, like you said, a stable bite block, and it goes down longer to be able to separate the tissue to be able to move air, but. Some of my BMI of 58 having their knee done or their hand done are only 5 foot versus the man who is 6'1" and yeah. he weighs 410 pounds. So tell me about the different sizes and the lengths, because I assume
yes.
that I can't use the same one, obviously, just in both people, my 5 foot lady and my 6 foot five man.
Yes. The size 4, which is our current MEA size,
I'm only a size 4.
Of course.
Yeah. So they fit. So the size 4 fits 5 feet in height to 6 feet in height, roughly. And you don't have to have the flange of the MEA all the way to the corner of the lips.
Okay.
You can tweak where the distal tip sits by just pulling it out.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
You just have to have on that elongated bite block. That's why that bite block is elongated, because it gives you multiple sizes within one, which fits most of the population.
Okay. Right? One size fits most. Now,
yes. And besides opening the airway, it does two other things. You can intubate around it and provide oxygen.
Huh.
So apneic oxygenation, and that's on our ASA
yes.
new airway algorithm for difficult airway management mm-hmm. of 2022. So you can put it on the left side, hook it up to your circuit, tuck that circuit underneath the patient's head so it does the MEA doesn't go flipping out with the weight of the circuit. And then you can intubate around it, and you get that oxygen down right where it's needed versus a nasal cannula. If the patient has a septal defect, mm-hmm. you're not going to get the benefit of the oxygen as much as it being closer down by the vocal cords. And also with the nasal CPAP or the high flow nasal oxygen, the MEA is so easy to use. You just plop it in.
It's also a nice addition if you're doing a fiber optic mm-hmm. nasal, fiber mm-hmm. optic, because you can continue to oxygenate yeah. while you're, because unless you're doing that fiber optic every day, it takes a few seconds, and that's the patient who often can't afford to go without oxygen.
Right, right. But and the other thing,
you can ventilate with
that you
it.
Can use the yeah. MEA for.
Yeah. yeah. You showed yeah. me how you can take the connector yeah. from an endotracheal tube. Am I correct? And you can actually yep. ventilate mm-hmm. through it.
Yeah. Yep. The MEA does, it is packaged with the connector.
Okay.
And you can do intraoral positive pressure ventilation instead of a mask and leaking around the mask as a, 30% of our adult uh-huh. males have beards now. So it is hard to get that positive pressure mask fit. This bypasses mass variables for difficulty, and you can get the oxygen closer again to where it's needed versus leaking around the mask. You just have to pinch the nares closed manually with your index finger and your thumb, or you can use the straight connector, attach it to the MEA, put it through the hole in the mask, and then put your circuit on top. That yep. is really easy. And I tell you, it's all about basic airway management, mm-hmm. opening the airway and ventilating. And when we can do those two things, we don't have to go down that difficult airway algorithm as quickly as if we didn't have a device like this.
I am thinking at my facility, we do hemorrhoids in the jackknife position under sedation.
Oh, my.
And wow, this would be, or the pilonidal cyst on the 19-year-old college kid who comes home after finals week, and we're going to do the pilonidal prone with mm-hmm. a little jackknife under sedation,
oh, my
local
goodness.
Sedation. This would make
That's
my life so much.
Right
oh yeah, this would make my life so much easier. Sliding this in before I roll them over, because there is more than one time that I'm pulling on the jaw with them in prone position
sure.
because they usually have
yes.
airway problems. But and they're usually men, and they don't want to be awake at all.
Yeah. And well, who does?
No, but
for that. But what is it? Some of the literature that you had sent us before, 30 to 80% of people have some kind of obstruction.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking about. Boy, this is a game changer.
Beyond the Mask is made possible by the team at CRNA Financial Planning. With almost two decades of experience, the firm guides CRNAs through the complexities of investing and financial planning. Schedule a free consultation today by calling 855-304-3748 or go online to crnafinancialplanning.com.
So we've talked about why it's better than other tools we have. So tell me about some of the outcomes that you're seeing with your airway, because I'm sure you're getting a lot of commentary and anecdotal mm-hmm. stories.
Yes. So testimonials, that's what keeps me going. When you're spending a lot of money, like we talked about, just with a new device, and we're a bootstrap company. There's only five of us for investors, and all the money's coming from us. It's great to have those testimonies to keep us going. So hearing the positive testimonies and case studies, there is one that was written and released in Anesthesiology News, where a CRNA could not ventilate a patient. They were going down that difficult airway algorithm, and they couldn't mass ventilate. The oral airway didn't work. They couldn't intubate, and mm-hmm. the CRNA said, instead of doing emergency tracheostomy, because they were in the operating room, they said, let's just use this purple device. She calls it the purple device.
Yeah.
And so she pulled it out of her pocket, plopped it in, and they could ventilate.
I want to know why they made it purple.
But I would also consider Anesthesia Patient Safety Foundation. Have they? I'm sure you've spoken to them about this. This should be in the difficult
airway
card.
Wouldn't that be cool if a CRNA device would be in the algorithm?
Yes, and in the carts. Recommend that they're in every cart.
Yeah, what have you done about that? We need to get that in there.
So APSF reached out to me, and I'm joining their airway committee.
Excellent.
Nice. I like that.
You should be.
So you were going to tell us why it's purple.
Why is it purple? Yeah, a number of reasons. The Minnesota state color is purple because of the Vikings, but also because of Prince.
Mm-hmm.
Purple Rain, Purple Rain.
Yeah, Tracy Young, did you hear that? Purple Rain. There's an inside story, but go ahead.
And also, purple is the color of renewal.
And royalty.
It is, yeah.
Yes, and lastly, is because you can find it in the sheets.
Ooh, I like that.
Yes, you can. And it's not in the, so like we have yellow, green. There's other color coding to the oral airways. There's no purple, which really stands you, you know, helps you stand out too. But I love that. So it does stand out in the sheets.
That was a great idea.
You know, we're talking about all different scenarios, right? I know Sharon's big thing is endoscopy because she does a lot of endoscopy. I do a lot of joints. I'll have people on their back or on their side. Like I said, many of them are older. They have obstructive sleep apnea. They're overweight. That's why their joints are wearing down. A lot of these people use CPAP at home, and they're talking about trying to bring in either using high flow nasal oxygen or using CPAP. There's a big push now for CPAP devices in the operating room. How does your device compare to those, or why would they be an improvement over that as my choice?
So the nasal CPAP or CPAP and high flow nasal oxygen, you have to set those up. You have to think about them ahead of time, right?
Yep.
The MEA can be easily stored in your cart. It takes up very little real estate. You open the package, open place and go. You don't have to twist it at all. You don't have any lubrication needed or tongue depressor. You just place it with a curve facing the hard palate and place between the molars and then size up or size down. So it's really easy to use. The other thing is that the nasal CPAP sometimes leaks through the mouth. So you're not getting the full benefit of that pressure. And it opens that distal pharyngeal tissue, the same with the high flow nasal oxygen, with pressure. And it's limited by pressure. Up to 15 centimeters of water for pressure.
Well, another thing that I just thought about, because sometimes, you know, they upchuck whenever you're doing a colonoscopy on some of these people. Mm-hmm. And I would be afraid if you've got a CPAP mask on them, they can aspirate because it'll blow it right back in. This way you can see it and, you know, it'll come out instead.
So besides it being easy to place, it's affordable compared to those devices. And that's where we do our comparison, not to the oral airway or to the nasal airway, because they just go to the back of the tongue. We need to compare the MEA to devices that open that distal pharyngeal tissue. So high flow nasal oxygen and the nasal CPAP or the CPAP, and they start anywhere from $80 on and up. The only thing with the MEA though, since it is placed orally, the patient has to be sleepy and have a negative gag reflex when you place it. And I recommend doing a chin lift. If they don't respond to a chin lift, they won't respond to the MEA being placed.
Huh. All right. So you've put in a lot of years getting this to market, a lot of money. Have you reached your break-even point? Are you finally going into the black now? Sounds like you were in the red for a number of years, which would mean it's a labor of love too at that point.
Definitely. Yes. Yeah. You know, we're seeing fruits of our labor and we received the American Nurses Association, the ANA Innovation of the Year Award in March. And that came with a stipend sponsored by Stryker. So that was really nice. We also received the EMS Innovation of the Year Award in 2021. So having funds that are coming from outside along with sales increasing, yes, we're seeing some great fruits of our labor.
I know we're talking about the airway and how this is such a phenomenal advancement for our profession and for anybody who is involved in the airway, right?
Which I never even thought about EMS, but that would be perfect.
Yes.
Because their intubation skills are usually severely lacking anyway.
But
keeps them from killing people in the field.
Yes.
The LMA
helped with that too, and the combi too. But if you had to break down three, our friend Carol Dwisher loves to do things in
threes.
The trifecta. If somebody was to come to you and say, I have this great idea that I want to implement, what would be your top pieces of advice for anybody who is looking to be an innovator, to create something new, bring something new to market? Because I'm sure that learning curve for you was huge.
Yes. You know, my passion is at the head of the bed. I did not look to be an inventor at all. Just saw the big D. Number one is that you have to do your homework. You have to do a patent search, see what's out there, because you don't want to infringe on anyone's patent. The other thing is that you have to surround yourself with support system, because it's a labor of love, like you said, Sharon. It takes a lot of time, but it takes a lot of money. I could have retired in a nice place by now, but I have the passion of improving airway management and improving outcomes and decreasing hospital costs. Mm-hmm. Because when our patients have respiratory compromise, it's costing, 50% of our ICU admissions are from respiratory cardiac related. And that it just increases our hospitalization and the cost up to $7.8 billion is what I saw recently.
But it's not just that cost. It's the cost to the provider. We are airway experts. Mm-hmm. And if we lose an airway and we can't recover that airway, the mental health cost is enormous.
Right.
And you're adding a tool.
Oh, that's true. Right?
You're adding a tool for success that might not have been there and could be the difference between any provider. I'm going to say anybody walking away saying, I should have, could have, what else could I have done? Looking in that mirror and beating themselves up to, I don't want to say being the hero, but saving a patient and not having to go through all of that second guessing and or walking down that path of just self-destruction.
Yeah.
So, and that cost is priceless.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just take a look at all of our hands. Mm-hmm. I draw up thousands and thousands of propofol syringes and then holding on to these airways. And some days, after you've been holding on in your hands, you look like claw hands.
Yeah, no, after 32 years, my thumbs are tired.
Yeah.
But it's that mental health piece. Clearly, the cost of ICU and all that, that's what's going to register with an administrator, right?
Mm-hmm.
But mental health for the provider is enormous too.
Absolutely. So what's next, Roxanne?
Yes. Well, my passion is to bring it more out of the operating room into the field of the opioid epidemic. It's tugging at my heart.
Mm-hmm.
The epidemic is only growing at alarming rates. Accidental death to overdoses is surpassing motor vehicle accidents.
I know. It's terrifying.
And, when CPR is hands-on only for chest compressions and we're not focused on the A and the B for opening the airway for the layperson, our patients, the victims are waking up and at alarming rates, they're not getting oxygen to the brain. So what's happening? They're brain dead.
Talking about this with me too, and it's the way we're doing compression. There's a whole new science. They're looking at exactly what you're talking about, the neurological deficit after CPR of the rescue of the patient.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a very low number of people who are fully mentally intact afterwards. And it is.
Yes.
It's an airway thing. It's an oxygenation thing and delivery.
Sure. Well, that makes sense.
Yep. And drug overdose is the highest related incident for organ donation now, because the drug overdose for brain death remains the single greatest etiology.
Wow.
So we need simple, basic airway management.
Sure.
We need to open the airway, the A and the B back in the CPR.
Mm-hmm.
How do people get a hold of your airway? Tell us your website. Give us some deets. I hope my kids heard that. It makes me sound cool.
No, it makes them roll their eyes, Sharon.
Yeah, so McMurrayMed.com, that's McMurrayMed, med.com. McMurrayMed.com, we have a contact me page, fill out that form. That's a great way to get a hold of us.
I need to sit here and fill that out. I need some in the office.
And just in case, because I know Sharon at one point when we were reading through stuff, the acronym, you've said MEA a couple of times. Tell them why I'm not sure if everybody put two and two together and I'm not I'm not dissing anybody out there. Just sometimes, you know, we throw around our alphabet soup. And when you are referencing MEA, it's the McMurray Enhanced Airway, which is the MEA. And I think we should all be familiar with those three letters in airway management.
Yeah.
And we're the first distal pharyngeal airway, which I refer to as the DPA.
Okay.
So
we're going to need a glossary of terms here.
Use your MEA to get to the DPA so that your patient's not DOA after CPR.
God, that's good.
There you go.
Yeah. You have to do the AB of the CPR.
That's good. So as we wrap this up, what would you like to conclude on and what message would you like to leave with our listeners?
Yeah, the MEA is a fast, easy, efficient, effective, affordable airway device. And it's made for our patients of today, 21st century patients and procedures. And we can keep our patients breathing and reduce hypoxia and respiratory compromise, we have better patient and provider outcomes, and we can reduce healthcare costs. So let's keep our patients breathing. Let's do better at basic airway management.
I have a quick question. Is it, can you re-sterilize it? Is it reusable or is it a one-time only like other airway devices?
It's a single,
okay.
Single use.
Also. So buy many.
Yeah, buy a lot. Yeah,
a lot. Buy a box of 50 when you're ordering.
Yeah, how does it come? A box of what?
Yeah, a box of 10.
A box of 10
individually. Yep, individually wrapped.
Okay, can somebody just buy a box of 10? Just to try, or is there a minimum purchase order?
A box of 10.
Oh, nice. Well, I've learned a lot today. How about you, Tracy?
Thank you for doing this and for being passionate about improving airway management. I think this is really cool what you did.
I think it's going to be in the algorithm.
I think it needs to be in the algorithm.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, and it's so cool that it's going to be a CRNA. And we'll be able to say, we knew her when.
Who builds the difficult airway algorithm? Who's in charge of it?
The ASA does it. They have a global network that they put together, and they revisit it, I think it's like every 4 years or so. And they put this global network together of anesthesiologists and develop this.
Yep, I'm working with two of the key players.
Nice. Oh, good. That's what I was wondering there,
good
too.
For you.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. Thank you for talking with us about this. I hope I have it. I keep it in my pocket. I haven't had to use it yet, and I've kept it in my pocket as my get out of jail free card. But I think I'm going to order a box or two and make sure everybody in my department has it to look at and think about it.
Some hospitals are implementing throughout the whole system and putting it in all the code cards.
We went from a small town hospital to, within a system, a large healthcare system, and everything is, everybody has to be the same. So, but we can bring it up the pipeline. I'm going to be doing that this week.
Good for you. Mm-hmm. We'll be looking around that website here shortly. So Roxanne, thanks so much for joining us. I didn't share how I met Roxanne. I was in Minnesota.
You think I have fun?
Tracy and I had went to Minnesota to visit our good friend Carol Deutscher, and I was in the airport lounge waiting to catch my flight, and I heard somebody say, Sharon. And I looked around, and this lady says, you're Sharon Pierce, aren't you? And I said, yes, do I know you? And she said, my name is Roxanne McMurray. And so we sat in the lounge and talked for a while, and guess what? She had one of her devices in her purse.
Of course she did. You never know when you need one on a plane, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And Sharon, see what I have on today?
I saw your pin. Of course, she had an airway. I've got a blingy CRNA pin. She's going to save more people than I will.
Yes, she is. So we all have our strengths.
That's it. Mine is the blingy CRNA pen. But thank you for joining us today, Roxanne. Thank you for everything you're doing. CRNAs are definitely the smartest people I know, and you are absolutely proving that in all the work that you have done. But I think it's a wrap.
I think so, too.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on, Sharon.
Oh, you are so
welcome. This was a real treat for me to be on this one, too. It was a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you so much, and thanks for listening to Beyond the Mask with the absent Jeremy Stanley, myself, Sharon Pierce, and guest,
Tracy Castleman.
If you like our show and want to help us grow, Tracy, can you tell our listeners how to help the show grow?
The best way to help is to like the show, share it on social media, and tell your friends and leave a review, but make it
positive. As Jeremy says, we all know there's enough negativity in the world.
Beyond the Mask is in the top 50 medical podcasts in the country and number one in the CRNA community's heart.
You are right. Thank you to all our listeners. Until the next time.
Hi, this is Jackie Rolls, president of the International Federation of Nurse Anesthetists and president and founder of Our Hearts, Your Hands, a global anesthesia support community that takes donations to allow nurse anesthetists in low and middle income countries to go to educational programs, buy equipment, or textbooks. Your donations are tax deductible, and we would appreciate your support.
Be sure to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere you like to listen to shows. Also, be sure to check out BeyondTheMaskPodcast.com. Each episode is posted there with a corresponding blog post, and we timestamp important parts of the episode to help you quickly get to the content you're looking for. Also, check out the special series section on the site. You can follow along and catch up on the CRNA History Series, episodes specifically about political conversations in the industry, or try the CRNA Personal Finance Series. It's all on BeyondTheMaskPodcast.com. And if you have a question for the show or want to be a guest or even suggest a particular topic, fill out the contact form on the site or send an email directly to us at info@BeyondTheMaskPodcast.com. And lastly, let's take the conversation social. Check out our Beyond the Mask podcast Facebook page and Facebook group.